Good evening to all. It is truly good to see everyone out this evening, and again to have this opportunity to share with you all from the Word of God. And this evening I wanted to take a look over in James chapter 1. We'll take a look over James chapter 1, starting with verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And our topic will be just on this, being a doer of the word and not simply a hearer of the word. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And those verses read as follow. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Consider when we wake up in the morning, when we find ourselves preparing to go to work or going out into the world, one of the first things that we find ourselves doing is going before that mirror. We look in that mirror. We want to make sure that we are presentable for the world, in a sense. So if we see any deformities or any features on ourselves that we need to correct, we do so at that time. This mirror, however, only provides for us a snapshot. It's only a snapshot of what we appear to be on the outside. So certainly, this mirror that we look into every day fails to look within us. It can't tell us about the true nature that lies within each and every one of us. And I want to consider a couple of verses here. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 23. And we'll look at verses 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 23. Over in Matthew chapter 23, we see Jesus providing this rebuke to these scribes and Pharisees. And consider these scribes and Pharisees, these individuals who consider themselves to be righteous. They consider themselves to maintain the law and keep the law. But at the same time, consider, you know, on the outside, that outside appearance, it appeared that they were indeed keeping the law. But internally, they were just as corrupt as could be, which is certainly why Jesus, consider the fact that Jesus would go out and select 12 average, ordinary individuals to be his apostles, as opposed to reaching out to this religious society throughout this time frame. The religious society throughout this time frame was corrupt again. So Matthew chapter 23 here, and looking at verses 25 through 28. Those verses read as follow. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thy blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whited sculptures, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bone and of uncleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So, you know, you think about it, these Pharisees, these scribes, they considered themselves to be very righteous at the same time. They had this false impression of themselves. And oftentimes, if you consider, just consider yourself, consider all of us. You know, sometimes we may have a certain impression of ourselves, but is that the true impression? Is that the real person that lies within us? I can recall some of my times while I was in the Marine Corps, and one of the things we did on an annual basis, just like I do now, is we have an annual evaluation, an assessment of sorts. And within this evaluation, I mean, it primarily tells you the things that you need to work upon, those deficiencies, the things that you can improve upon. One of the habits that we got into, especially in the Marine Corps, is actually letting those Marines that we were evaluating write upon themselves. Now, you can only imagine. We had standards, we had guidelines, and some of this stuff was pretty cut and dry. For example, if you ran a first-class PFT, well, certainly you did your job. But if you ran a third-class PFT, then this should be something that you should note upon your evaluation. And it's the same thing with marksmanship. If you went out to the rifle range and you fired an expert, okay, you're doing well. But at the same time, if you fired a marksman, well, you qualified, but just barely. Okay, so there were a few items that were a little bit more subjective in nature, especially when you consider leadership, when you consider teamwork abilities, things of that nature. But when we started to let these Marines write upon themselves, I don't think I received a single fitness report where every single Marine rated themselves as high as possible. Despite their actual performance, despite how they perform, they all rated themselves pretty high, and they thought pretty highly of themselves. And the thing here is, you know, the simple fact is there are guidelines, there are standards, and those Marines actually had guidelines and standards that they should have been following while they were actually completing this evaluation. Now, of course, I will go back and correct most of those. But think about this. The main reason for any assessment, again, is to correct any deficiencies that we may find within ourselves. Throughout my time in the Marine Corps, we had many assessments, we had many guidelines, many standards. Consider in life, there's only one standard. There's only one standard that we should be going by, and that is the Word of God. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6, and we'll take a look at verses 46 through 49. Again, the only standard that we should find ourselves using is the Word of God. This is the only standard that if we begin to read it, study, abide by it, this is the only way we can correct any type of deformities, any type of deficiencies within our own lives. So Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He was like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing was like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Consider James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 reminds us that we are to do the Word of God and not just hear the Word of God. Consider the times we study the Word, but we find ourselves getting distracted, perhaps by the affairs of this world, and we forget what the Word of God has told us in regards to how to live our lives. It fades away from our mind. It fades away from our mind because it was never really a part of our lives anyway. This individual is like that person that looks into the mirror. He sees something that needs to be corrected. He turns away and he immediately forgets what he saw. Let's consider 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And that verse reads, And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. When we look into the mirror that is the Word of God, here and here only do we get a clear, defined picture as to who we are. Oftentimes when we read the Word of God, we don't carefully study or examine ourselves. Sometimes we find ourselves simply glancing over the Word of God, and we fail to truly concentrate and study the Word of God. And again, we fail to see those deformities that we ourselves possess. Again, consider the fact that we deceive ourselves oftentimes. Oftentimes we deceive ourselves. We may see ourselves a certain way, while others might see us a totally different way. But again, what is the only standard that we should find ourselves going by? That one standard, again, is the Word of God. Let's consider James chapter 1, verse 24. James chapter 1, verse 24. That verse again reads, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." In this verse, we read that a man glances at himself, he goes away, he immediately forgets who he is. If we find ourselves looking deep enough into our lives, using the Word of God and no other guidance, then truly not only will we see the type of person we truly are, but we will never forget that type of individual. What we see throughout James chapter 1 here and throughout this entire book is faith in action, and is very prevalent in these verses here. Consider the difference between the hearer who forgets and the doer of the Word of God. Is that this doer allows the perfect law of liberty, as we're told, this perfect law of liberty that's only found in our Lord and Savior. They allow this law of liberty to actually shape the course of their life. This individual puts his actions, puts his faith into action, that is. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. That verse reads, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." If you turn back over to James chapter 1 here and verse 25, we read about this law of liberty. Consider that the Word of God sets us free from the bondage of sin. It sets us free from the bondage of death. The Word of God will free us from anything that enslaves us on this earth. However, also consider that the only way that the Word of God would be effective in our lives is if we abide by it. It's one thing to simply read the Word. It's one thing to simply hear the Word. Again, the only way the Word of God is going to be effective in any of our lives is if we actually abide by the Word of God. And I wanted to take a look at an example here. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll take a look at verses 16 through 22, where we see Jesus counseling this rich young ruler. And consider how the Word of God, again, reveals these deficiencies within us. It reveals our shortcomings, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. And those verses read as follow. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which one?' Jesus says, 'You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Consider this rich young ruler wanted to follow Christ, but he wanted to follow Christ on his own terms. He kept all of these commandments from his youth on up, but you get this impression that he found himself violating the greatest of all these commandments, and that he loved his possessions and his wealth more than he loved God. Many people sometimes perform only a quick glance into the Word of God. Consider if we are to use the Word of God as this mirror and use it in a profitable way. We're to not only dedicate ourselves to serious studying of the Word of God, but we must also examine our hearts and our lives in the light of God's Word, making corrections on these deficiencies that have been revealed to us. Let's take a look at another example here, and let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we see Nathan actually providing a parable to King David after he had sent Uriah off to the front lines to be killed. And this is only after he tried to conceal the fact that he had slept with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of its own food and drank from its own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one of the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." You know, you consider David here and you consider all the things that David has done. Consider the fact that David was blind to his own faults. He couldn't even see the things that he had done wrong, and it had to be revealed to him. Again, when we come in contact with the Word of God, corrections need to be made. Only through the Word of God can our deformities, our shortcomings, be identified. We can observe ourselves and never see a need for correction. Consider these examples with the rich young ruler, with David. Consider this example that I provided earlier in regards to having these Marines write their own evaluations. Again, sometimes when we're looking at ourselves, you know, we don't see any faults. I mean, we see nothing wrong with us whatsoever. Again, consider the only way that we'll ever identify any of those deficiencies is by truly taking the Word of God and truly studying the Word of God. And to ensure that the Word of God, again, is effective in our lives, we must abide by the Word of God. Again, we must not simply be hearers of the Word of God. We must also be doers. James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25 again reads, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one would be blessed in what he does." We see in this verse that James added this phrase, "continue in it." So the Word of God isn't meant to be a quick fix. It's not meant to be a quick fix in our lives. It must be continually applied throughout our lifetime in order to be truly effective. We can't look at the Word of God once and then just, again, turn away from it and think that we're okay. The only way that the Word of God would truly be effective in our lives is if, again, we're constantly studying the Word of God and constantly abiding by that Word. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. And those verses read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." Oftentimes we will mark our Bibles, but how often do we find ourselves going back to it and applying the very standards that we've read about, applying these things to our lives, and again, abiding in the Word of God? Consider the theme throughout James chapter 1. And the fact that it is truly talking about action, that we should be taking action. It's not just hearing this word, but we should also, again, abide in this word. There should be action associated with this. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, we see Jesus rebuking these scribes and Pharisees. And that verse reads, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." I'm going to close here, but consider, how do we measure up to the Word of God? There are many standards that we may have in life. Sometimes we may apply our own standard to ourselves. And again, we may see nothing wrong with us whatsoever. But again, are we truly evaluating ourselves through the Word of God? Sometimes we glance at ourselves when it comes to the Word of God, as opposed to truly assessing ourselves. And perhaps we do this because we don't want to truly acknowledge what we might see. The Word of God reveals to us our flaws. It provides for us an opportunity to closely examine ourselves and to make corrections. It serves as a constant reminder to us that none are righteous. We were told this over in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and that we all fall short of that perfect standard. Yet, certainly we do have the Word of God to guide us if we so choose to be doers of the Word. If we're truly to use the Word of God in a profitable manner, then we must carefully examine our hearts, our lives, in the light of God's Word. Certainly, I want to thank you for your kind attention this evening. The song of encouragement that has been selected is number 315. Consider James chapter 2, verses 24, where we read, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." A man is justified by works and not by faith only. We're reminded over in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, by Jesus, that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you are present here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we do stand ready to assist. If you find yourself as a Christian who has fallen away from the faith and you require the prayers of the saints, again, we stand ready to assist while we stand and sing our song of encouragement.